Now, Therese Jewell had it all, a great job, a lovely family and home. Life was brilliant until it wasn't. Well, she's here to share her story. Welcome to the show, Therese.
Thank you, Selena. Thank you for having me.
Now, we hear this so often nowadays. As I say, life was brilliant. You had a great career as a robotics engineer. But at the age of 40, you decided to leave. Why was that?
Well, in fact, my family and I, we live in Toronto, but we had moved to Calgary, which is in Alberta, in Canada. And I had struggled to find work to continue my career as an engineer. So I had kind of come to a conclusion of, well, I can keep pursuing things and perhaps find something, or I can really face what I've wanted to do for my whole life, which is to write a book. And I decided to take the opportunity at that point to pursue my dream.
Great stuff. And what did you decide to write at that stage?
At that point, I was writing a book about, I guess it's technically called women's fiction, even though I don't really love that term, but it was a novel about a woman and kind of experiencing the ups and downs of
life.
An early marriage. Exactly.
I know what you mean. So fast forward to the day before Mother's Day, 2017. What happened that day?
Yeah, that day... Well, I'll just go back one day prior to that. So the Friday night before Mother's Day 2017 was really when things kind of took a turn. Up until that point, I hadn't been sleeping. I've always had problems with insomnia, but it had really reached a peak. And I cooked dinner for my family thinking I was making this wonderful feast. And when everybody sat down to eat, my husband kind of surprised, like he kind of looked at what I was serving and exclaimed, "This is garbage. What are you giving us here for dinner?" And when I looked at it, I realized, yes, this is garbage. What have I been making? This is bizarre. But I kind of just shrugged it off. And then the next day we had a hockey tournament in Edmonton, which was a few hours away from our house. And we went and everything was sort of okay through the day. But that night I just couldn't sleep again. I was up all night in the hotel room, kind of scared and also just happy. My moods kept switching very drastically. And when we woke up, I was very paranoid that something was going to happen to us and we had to flee from Edmonton. It was quite scary.
Yeah, it must have been. It must have been very real to you. And you were diagnosed with bipolar 1 mood disorder.
That's right, Selena.
And they hospitalized you for a couple of weeks. What do they do then? How do they start to make you better?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my husband, on the Monday morning after Mother's Day, we kind of wrote out the day to see what happened. And I was sort of, I could rest at times and then I would be really revved up again. So by the Monday morning, it was clear to my husband that I needed help. So he took me to the hospital. And I was in the emergency room for the rest of the Monday and overnight. And they had a psychiatrist, or I think they had a few psychiatrists come and assess me, or at least two. And just based on my behavior and based on, they asked me some questions based on my history, they could kind of figure out that they thought it was likely a mental illness. But they also ran a few tests, which I don't even remember. A lot of what happened in the emergency room, I was still in such a manic state that I don't have some memories of things that happened to me. So in the middle of the night, I was taken for an MRI to rule out any kind of physical issues. And I really don't remember it. I remember lying down on the bed and kind of just falling asleep at that point. I think I was medicated by that point. So over the next 2 weeks, they gave me some antipsychotic drugs, which helped to bring down the mania quite a bit. And they really mostly just monitored my routine so that I was kind of forced to stick to a bit of a routine, like a bit of a, these are your sleep times, these are your wake times, and these are when you're going to eat through the day. Like these are meal times. So, and we did some group therapy that I really quite enjoyed, actually.
Yeah, yeah, that can help. I think as well as you say you can't remember it, and I get that, as well as the medication, I think you just shut down, don't you? You just want to hide away from the world, and your brain just closes off.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think at times it is a protective mechanism to not remember certain aspects of what happened.
You said they went into your history. Had you had a history of mental health issues?
I'd had some depression. I had a history of kind of what I consider to be minor depression. The most significant episode was when I had a miscarriage in my 20s. So it was about 15 years ago now. This all happened in 2017. So it was about 12 years prior at the time. And I was quite depressed, but it seemed a little far removed from my mania, because oftentimes depression and mania are really cyclical. One follows the other in a pattern.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say everything that I'd experienced as a depressive episode did seem kind of explained by life circumstances at the time.
Right, right. But was 2 weeks enough? Were you okay when you got out of the hospital?
That's a tough one. I mean, I was okay. I was desperate to get home because I have young children, so I needed them really to help heal. However, two weeks is nothing in terms of a mental illness, like in terms of an episode and recovering from one. But there wasn't really a lot more, I don't think, that could have been done for me in the hospital. I really did need to get home to my family.
And were you still on medication at that point?
Yes. I mean, I'm still on medication now, but I was still on the antipsychotics at that point, which I'm not anymore. At first I had weekly meetings, and then they turned into monthly meetings with my psychiatrist. So I was treated as an outpatient, and I did have a therapist who was assigned to me through the hospital in Calgary. So I was given ongoing support.
And did it ever happen again?
Yes. So exactly 1 year later, Mother's Day weekend of 2018, it happened again.
No.
Yeah. So I had kind of, when I look back now, I think I spent most of that year depressed, the year between each Mother's Day. And I was really still in denial about the need for lithium. That's what I was taking then. That's what I still take now. And I was really frustrated that I wasn't healing, and I didn't think I needed the lithium as much as I do. So I reduced it. My psychiatrist and I had discussed reducing it and the possibilities after 1 year of stability. And I was close to the 1 year mark, and I was just really, I had a few different reasons why I was tired of taking it, but I just talked myself into thinking it would be perfectly fine if I reduced it. And of course I wasn't. I almost immediately, just a few weeks later, I had another manic episode exactly the same weekend. So for a lot of people with mental illness, seasonal changes are a really big deal. Mm. And it seems like for me, spring is quite a significant one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suppose exactly a year later, it probably brought back awful memories for you as well.
It did. And it also brought, I mean, I was feeling manic. So I had a little bit of the euphoria where I was feeling like I could reclaim my life prior to the mania. And Mother's Day, because I do have kids, they always really treat me really well. So it's a very happy time. And, you know, my husband does a really good job of treating me really nicely for Mother's Day. So it's always kind of, I feel like a bit of a queen at that time.
Quite right.
So, yeah. So I was very, I was quite happy, and I was eager to just say, no, I don't need this medication. I'm not really bipolar, or whatever I thought at the time.
Mm, yeah. Well, it made you determined to write this book, which I think will help a lot of people reading between the lines. Is it a memoir then? Is it your story?
Yes, it is definitely my story. It covers the time period between that dinner I cooked the couple of nights before the first Mother's Day, and then through my first mania, my second mania, both hospitalizations, And then it's a 3-year journey, like from the start to the end. So I walked through, we moved back to Toronto shortly after my second mania. And it's a lot about my recovery and trying to prevent future episodes.
And this is why I think it'll help other people to see that, you know, other people do go through it and come out the other side. And also how your family have to cope, because it's tough for them as well, isn't it?
It was really hard on them. Yeah, definitely. Especially, I think, the first two episodes when I was in Calgary and most of my family was back in Toronto, my immediate family really felt helpless at the time. And then it was really tough for, yeah, my husband had to juggle everything and he didn't know anything about mental illness. So that was difficult. And my kids were so young and didn't know anything either. So it was tough on everybody.
Yeah. And of course, the other thing to battle about mental health issues is the stigma that comes with it and the sometimes crazy opinions.
Yeah, definitely. That's an ongoing challenge. I mean, I've kind of accepted it now that that's the reality of our society, but it's hard. But there's still some instances. So there was someone trick-or-treating at our house recently with his kids and he was wearing a straitjacket. And I was so shocked. I couldn't react to even say anything. And then I had to kind of just close the door and take a few minutes before I could even respond to the next little kids. And
yeah,
so, you know, you never know when it's going to turn up, but
yeah, I like to think that we are certainly getting better. I mean, with, you know, the famous people, the well-known people that are coming out and sharing their stories, but there's always a label, isn't it? Once you say you have a mental health issue, even if you're just having a bad day one day, people think, ah, well, she's having an episode. It's just
definitely a
nightmare. You get labeled for sure.
Yeah, that is a really frustrating aspect of that. And I think sometimes as well, it's a bit in my head that, oh, they're just going to think I'm being bipolar.
Yes.
But sometimes it is really quite true that people will be a little more, oh, I better be sensitive and treat me a little bit differently, which, yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah, frustrating. Well, I know you've got a website as well. People can find out more. Is it just your name?
It's just my name, CheriseJewell.com.
Excellent. And we are selling your book on our website. It's called Crazy, Memoir of a Mum Gone Mad. Terrible title. You're not crazy. It's by Cherise Jewell, who we're speaking to now. And I believe it's out now. Came out in October.
It did, yes. Thank you, Selena.
Wonderful. Well, listen, I think you're doing great. Thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.